Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. This is part two of what ended up being a three-part interview with Bobby Elbert. Now, he's the president of Values Driven Leadership, LLC, where he helps other leaders to build aspiring workplace cultures through value-driven leadership. He's also an author, speaker, business consultant, and a contributor on Fox News Radio, where he shares insight on leadership, workplace culture, and employee engagement, and we are blessed to have him on the program today. Now, if you missed any of the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up. I don't have time to go back and replay any of it, simply because there's so much information that needs to be discussed today. Amen. Now, I'm going to start this portion of the interview off by asking Bobby why he put the word paradox in the title and why he chose the title of his book to be The Freedom Paradox, Is Unbridled Freedom Dividing America? Now, while you're listening to the interview, go down in the show notes and click the link to order his book. Now, here's part two of the interview with Bobby Elbert. And that word paradox, why did you put that in the title? I mean, is there a paradox of freedom?
Well, there is. And if I may share this with you leading up to that, you know, your question there. Originally, my book, I was thinking about the title was going to be America, Who Are You? You see, this comes back to the core values. Mm-hmm. And because I started noticing something was changing in our country. And but the thing I begin to notice that, you know, there's some change that has been occurring, you know, that is necessary and good. Because, you know, one of the things about me, I enjoy change. That was one of the things that our employees, they expected change in our company because they knew that Bobby Elbert really enjoys change. But my wife will tell you, I don't like unpleasant surprises.
Amen.
I mean, it tears me up. And so what's happened in recent years, I have been surprised often, not in a good way, of changes that have been taking place in our country. As you probably know, that there's some change that's not good. And one thing that I learned in our place of business, that the foundational core values, that's who I was, because basically, outside of my dad, I was the founder of the company, and the foundational core values and purpose never change. And it was backed up by research. And this is some things that I learned after I discovered my core values. Is there's an author and researcher by the name of Jim Collins. And his research confirmed about the foundational core values and purpose in an organization never changed in those companies. And one of his mostly known books is called Good to Great. Mm. And if I can say this briefly, is he identified good companies that outperform the average stock market from 1926 to 1990. And there were some good companies that outperformed the average stock market two times, which, you know, you'd almost wish you had invested in those companies. Mm-hmm. But there was a small group of companies that outperformed the stock market during that whole time by five times as much.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason why he dug in his research. What was so unique about these people that over that long period of time, and many of them were in existence for over 100 years, what made them so special? And he found they was, it's pretty simple, preserve the core and stimulate progress. And the preserve the core he found was the core values and purpose never changed from the day those companies were founded. But to stimulate progress, that meant everything, and I mean everything, is on the table for change. I'm talking about policies, procedures, compensation schedule, organization structure, products and services. You could go on and on. Those were constantly changing over, and like I mentioned, some of these companies for 100 years. Yeah. So when you start applying this to our country, is the item that of the core values and purpose from the day of founding of our country was to never change, but it is changing. But you can see and understand why we are all experiencing the unrest in our country. And if I might, this is a reason why in 2019, Gallup had a poll that said that 66% of the Americans are dissatisfied with the way things are going in the United States.
Yeah.
So you have to ask, how did we get to this point? And I came up with what I call a life and liberty equation. And what that equation stands for on the is that freedom plus responsibility, talking about personal responsibility, equal life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Amen. And so the problem is on the left side of that equation. I'm explaining to get back to your question about the freedom paradox is what has happened is that we've got the about freedom. I mean, just go around. Everybody's talking about, you know, what are my rights?
Right, right.
You know, what am I, you know, I'm entitled to this or that. And so there's so much focus on my freedom, and that when the country was founded, there was a healthy tension between freedom and responsibility.
Yeah.
And so what's happened is we've been losing that healthy tension of behaving in a responsible way. You know, if you just think about this, when people are talking about my rights or my freedoms all the time, really what they're talking about, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. It, as you know, is that it's a self-centeredness rooted in pride. And, you know, as the Bible says, you know, pride comes before the fall. And so the thinking revolves about my personal rights and freedoms alone. And so if you just, I think, you know, you probably have observed this as well, but when there's so much emphasis on me or I, you know, today we have an iPhone. Yep. We use an iPad. Yep. I've even seen the term I God. And there's even a URL out there that's, you know, a URL is like at the end of your email address has got .com or, you know, whatever. But there's even a .me out there.
Yeah.
And I've observed as well is advertising that is done on social media and on TV is even the products or the name of the company has the letters EME that are highlighted in the ad. And then the ad will go on and tell you that this is all about me.
Yeah.
So, So, you know, our economy is you know, is very, you hear about it, it's consumer spending is the thing that drives this. But, you know, this has a lot to do with just this personal self-gratification. And, you know, in our economy, you can just about indulge in any physical desire that you have. And it creates this craving that, and all of a sudden when we get that craving, the healthy tension between freedom and responsibility disappears. Yeah, but it's interesting. You know, you mentioned about me bicycling, and when I'm bicycling, it's kind of like I'm sitting in my, you know, my prayer seat, and and I'm praying and talking to the Lord and thinking about things. And this came one day when I was bicycling, that word consume, it's fascinating to me. The last two letters are M-E. Mm. And so when we see responsibility includes the perspective about we. And so we've been losing this healthy tension of freedom and responsibility. And it explains where, you know, you have to ask, well, where do you think our divisiveness, disunity, detachment by society's elite, discord among the poor, dishonorable name calling, dishonesty, yeah, and disrespectful, where it all comes from?
It's all and, part of me. Yeah.
Well, it is. And where we have lost in our country that healthy tension of freedom and responsibility that leads to what the Declaration of Independence emphasize is life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one thing, and I'm getting closer to your question, to answer your question more, you know, direct. But as you know, America has a heart condition, and I'm not talking about your physical heart, your condition. I'm talking about your overall well-being. And what I've observed over, and it's been occurring for many generations, and I think you probably know this, is that we haven't been guarding our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
And we have, because our pursuit of freedoms has been so strong that we have been ignoring our personal responsibility. And, you know, in the Bible, you know, in the Bible, we, each one of us, you and myself, I'm responsible for my own sins.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
And so the Bible teaches personal responsibility. And, but, you know, the freedom comes in Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you know, I think you understand right now we're in a spiritual warfare.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, and, absolutely. You know, people are calling, just like the Bible says, people are calling good evil and evil good.
Yeah.
And so the freedom paradox, this is the freedom paradox. Is that the more we behave irresponsibly, the more freedoms we lose. Mm-hmm. Conversely, it says that the more we embrace responsibility, the greater freedoms we enjoy.
Amen.
So, you know, if you kind of think about it, is that people that are Christians, especially mature Christians, they understand there are certain behaviors and actions that are just off limits. And there's things that we just don't do. And but it takes discipline, you know, kind of like don't cross that boundary line.
Right.
And it's interesting in just in our practical life. If you think about every sport, game board, video game, there's always boundary lines.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, and what happens when we cross over the boundary lines? We get penalized or we suffer negative consequences.
Yeah, amen.
And so what's happened is that there's so much focus on freedom. We want to play this game without the responsibility of life. But as you know, when we play any game, you know, a sport or game, as long as we play within the boundary lines, the game is always fair and there's, everything seems to work. Amen. But when we step outside those boundary lines, it just doesn't work.
Amen. Let me ask you this. You alluded to, the responsibility goes hand in hand with the freedom and freedom hand in hand with the responsibility, but that actually goes all the way back to what the founding fathers established for the foundation of this nation, because we were founded on the Judeo-Christian principles that are in the Bible, right?
Well, exactly. It's fascinating you bring that up, because besides the core values of freedom and responsibility, that's our core values as a country. The founding purpose of America is religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's a couple of things about that is that, purpose is dealing with why does America exist? And if you look at the founding, now keep in mind, when I wrote this book, I wasn't a big history buff or anything, but in the book, I have a lot of historical stories in there that confirm what I was discovering as to the condition of our culture that we have been violating for a long time. But if you take William Bradford, he was the guy that led people on the Mayflower from England. And of course, most people know that they landed at Plymouth, but their sole purpose was religious freedom. They wanted to, because of what was going on in England. Well, a few years later, after that, there was another guy named John Winthrop, and he brought 1,000 people on 17 ships, and they landed what we know today as Boston. And so the priority of these two groups in the early goings was freedom to worship and live as Christians in this new land without the interference of government. And so the country was founded. And by the way, let me say this. After these two groups came, people were just coming and coming and coming to what we know as America. And the highest reason why people were coming is for religious freedom.
Yeah.
If you can think of that, that was the founding purpose of our country. And specifically, these people came as Christians. And so our country was, again, specifically, we're founded as a Christian nation. And if I may go on and say this, that it was very prevalent in our Declaration of Independence. When Thomas Jefferson, who was the author of the Declaration of Independence, there's a few of these words just about everybody knows them. And it's things like, starting out, it just says, we hold these truths
self-evident.
Yeah, to be self-evident that all men are created
Amen.
Equal. And they're endowed that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Amen. So it is very clear of the Christian influence in just Jefferson writing the Declaration of Independence and the people that voted in accepting that the wording in this Declaration of Independence. And just to give you a few examples is when it's talking about, created, the word created is that, as you know, that we were created and made in the image of God, our creator.
Yep. Amen.
And equality, this is a key point as well, is that equality means all people, you and me, are treated the same with dignity, respect, and love by God. And this equality serves as a starting point, offering equal opportunities for all citizens. It does not mean that you have a right to equal outcomes. That's a big difference.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
That you are personally responsible for your own outcomes, or what you do with the opportunities afforded you. It's the you reap what you sow that's in the Bible. But if I might share this as well, is that when it was talking about we hold these truths, and it goes on to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and it goes on talking about that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Mm-hmm. When it's talking about rights there, it's those are gifts. Those are endowed from God, our Creator. They're not from human beings or from the government.
That's right.
And so therefore, every person who receives these rights are accountable to the giver, being God, of said rights. And we are therefore responsible to God to be obedient to his laws, precepts, and principles. That's what that stands for in the Declaration of Independence, is the truths that are self-evident. And we're talking about God is love. And at the same time, he is a just God.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. That's what I was thinking too. God is love, but he's also just.
Yes.
That's one of the things that, people you hear sometimes say, well, if there was a God, how could God allow this stuff to happen? And my, I have to bite my tongue because my natural response would be, what makes you think that he isn't, that he's pleased with what you're doing right now?
See, this whole issue about government or governments, there's a piece that, goes on in the Declaration of Independence other than what I just read to you. Those are well known. But if I might add one last thing here about the Declaration of Independence, the next following sentence talks about that, talking about these inalienable rights here, is that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
Yeah.
Amen. And what it's talking about here is that, if you can remember your early American history, the United States of America was trying to declare their independence from the tyranny and the oppressive king of Great Britain. That was a top-down government. And what this means in this Declaration of Independence is that the government was to serve the people.
Amen.
To secure these rights, rather than the people serving the government. In other words, we're talking about, it's almost like the, like I was describing the upside down organization chart, is that it's a bottom-up structure of government. And the American government was to take on the servant leader's attitude to serve and not be served. And the government had only powers that was come from the sovereign people who delegated. In other words, that's part of that term consented to. Mm-hmm. So the decision-making process was both, if I can say this, is top-down and a bottom-up. Mm-hmm. And it's a dialogue, not a monologue. Man. And so when it goes on talking about these just powers, but the just powers that are given to the government only comes from the consent of the governed, and that's the people.
Yeah.
And so the only way there's trust between the people and the government is that those in power and those that they serve, they have that understanding.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of the interview with entrepreneur, business leader, and president of Values Driven Leadership, LLC, Bobby Elbert. He's been sharing some great insights with us today from his book, The Freedom Paradox: Is Unbridled Freedom Dividing America? Folks, if there was ever a time for a book like this, it's right now. The information Bobby is sharing with us is so applicable to the day and time in which we live today. You know, in fact, today he shared about the inspiration for choosing that particular name for his book. He also shared how the Freedom Paradox can be traced all the way back to the founding of America. Praise God. Right now, you need to order your very own copy of the book, The Freedom Paradox: Is Unbridled Freedom Dividing America? Just go down into the show notes and click the link right there. In fact, at the time of this recording, it's actually about the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. And I know that you know someone who would enjoy this book. So when you click the link, order 2, 3, or 4 copies and share them as gifts this season. Amen. And be sure to come back for the next episode as I conclude my 3-part interview with Bobby Elbert. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.